patterns of our society are being disrupted.
Raising to a new level.
I cannot stand drama. companies love to remind everybody that they're in charge. We're going to move this one. We're going to relocate that one. You're going to this location. And it's always done with the lowest level employees, the people that are on the bottom rung of the corporate ladder. Because if they quit, it's no real loss. You know, they're expendable. Another organization that does this is the Catholic Church. Every 4 to 6 years, move a priest. It's like our society doesn't value family or camaraderie. You know, things that might actually help motivate people. You're kind of used to somebody. You work with them all the time. You know their personality type. You know what they what they're going to be like, what their quirks are. And so you get used to working with that person, and it's a relationship that is functioning. But here's the rub. Corporations seem to have it in their head that this is a thick as thieves scenario. So any kind of camaraderie between employees is often scorned. You're not here to play, you're here to work. Just because somebody's having a conversation on the clock does not mean they're conspiring, but I digress. The fact of the matter is no entrepreneur from history will tell you that treating the lowest people in the company like crap is a sound business decision. You know, whenever I see one of these people with their masters in business, I just want to crumple it up and use it for toilet paper. I think that what schools do is they strip people of their identity and their unique thinking, their individuality, and they turn them into slaves to an ideology that basically is business as usual, everybody's expendable, and everybody should be afraid for their job. AutoZone is huge on this. They want to keep people scared. They want people so scared they're going to lose their job that there is no room for doubt that they will cut you as soon as they get the first opportunity. Well, who's motivated to do anything unique for a company like that? Hell, if somebody thinks that you're that expendable, showing up to work every day is a chore. Never mind actually getting something done around the business. And the reason this happens, too many cooks stirring the pot. There's so many people stirring the pot nowadays. You've got CEOs, and then you've got VPs, and you've got, you know, people that are sort of in charge of human resources. And every one of these people is basically taking a piece of the pie and claiming it for their own. This is a really stupid idea. Well, we have a large corporate office because, you know, it takes a big team to run this company. Yeah, but you've got departments inside of departments inside of departments. And every one of them has a mission statement of everybody at the retail level, let's use retail as an example because it's what I know, is scum, dirt, and awful. They don't know anything. Never mind the fact that they're there every day. They see what moves in and what moves out of the store as far as merchandise goes and how customers act and what customers want. We don't want any of their input because we have a computer program. And the computer program covers all 472 of our stores. If I may borrow a phrase from the chicks on the right, can we just not? You know, there's a reason our society is breaking down the way it is. And it's not all just because of politics. It's not all just because of, you know, people emotional about this issue or that issue. It starts at the deepest roots of our society with the way we treat each other. Okay, I had one of these sales weasels stand there and tell me one day that I didn't know what I was talking about because he went to school, and I didn't. I said, no, I didn't go to school for 8 years and get a master's degree. But I have been working retail since I was 16 years old. So I may not have the degree, and somebody else's opinion dumped into my head, who, by the way, that person never actually worked in retail. High school, straight to school, got his master's so he can teach other people. But we won't go into that. Yeah, basically, you've got a brainless nitwit who's never actually worked in retail teaching people how to manage a business based in retail. And then, but hey, I got a master's degree. But I think that my 20-some-odd years in retail might trump that guy just a little bit, especially since he's in his 30s. Yeah, you gotta love these young hotheads that come in and think they know everything and start swinging their business around for everybody to see. Nobody cares, dude. Seriously, can we just not? Treating people like human beings is key to having a successful business. If you cannot listen to the input of the people lowest on your totem pole, the people that deal with your customers every day, then you shouldn't be in business. Well, we now know what the gunman in Baltimore was upset about. But I can summarize this easier by just saying the guy was a moron. A psychotic moron. Evidently, he thought that he could sue a newspaper for defamation when what they posted was just a public record. There wasn't even an editorial. There was no story. It was just a public record. And this guy lost his friggin' mind. So he sued the company. A judge threw it out because it's public record. I mean, pretty much anybody could go get it without even involving the damn newspaper. But he decided, a full 7 years later, that the time had come. He got some smoke grenades. He loaded his shotgun. He went to town to pass off his righteous judgment. And this all stems from him stalking somebody. And that story is a whole nother show. I'm not even going to get into that. Basically, man meets woman. Man is psychotic. Woman discovers man is psychotic. Woman calls the cops. Yada, yada, yada. You can probably figure out the rest. Well, this all made public record, which the newspaper shared, and he didn't like it. He apparently barricaded the only exit out. And then somebody got shot trying to crash it anyway. I really don't want to hear another idiot bloviating that the problem is the gun. You see, 40, 50 years ago, we started closing asylums in this country. And it was actually a good thing for the most part because they were just torturing people and calling it research. I mean, it was the worst kind of pseudoscience there probably is on the planet. Let's just see what happens if we dip this guy in ice water. Hey, let's hook this guy up to a car battery. You know, these are bad ideas. And even back then, they should have been like, wow, I might be as psychotic as the person that I'm dealing with here. Yeah, you might. But the thing is, they didn't replace the asylums with anything. They didn't, you know, dial up the local schools and say, we need to put together an organization of hospitals that deal with the mentally deranged. Now, I don't want to sound like ultra-conservative talk show host here, because, as you know, I'm a modern Whig, not a conservative. But there is a definite parallel between the uptick between extremist thought and the fact that there is no Section 8. I think it's called Section 8. It's either Section 8 or Section 10. Basically, where you have somebody legally committed because they're out of their damn mind. You can't do it anymore. You cannot put somebody in the hospital because they're nuts. So these people are all wandering the streets. Some of them are homeless and mutter incoherent phrases about God while talking to the Archangel Gabriel on a two-way radio. They're no threat to anybody, they're just nuts. But then you've got the people that get so far into their own heads, they actually believe the rhetoric they come out with, and then they end up in office. Or they vote. And I know this all sounds kind of anecdotal, but it's happening. All you got to do is look at the parallels between when these asylums were closed versus when this type of extremist ideology started to rise. And they're practically neck and neck towards the finish line, which, by the way, I hope we never reach. But think about that. This started happening at the same time that we started closing these places. And like typical government, we didn't say we really need an alternative because we don't just want these people running around, you know, throwing bags of cocaine at each other and doing it, whatever else it is they do. We came up with no alternative. None whatsoever. And nobody's looked at it and said, oh, you know, I wonder if that might be related to the fact that our society is completely melting down right now. You know, people that can't keep their emotions in check and light cities on fire and burn them to the ground when they're angry about something that hurt their city. How is that not psychotic behavior? How is that person 60 years ago not committed to an asylum? They are absolutely, yeah, you burnt down your city because you were mad that somebody didn't find a criminal guilty in the city that hurt your city. So you punish the city for getting hurt. Into the asylum you go. There needs to be a solution for the mental health problems in this country, and we need one yesterday. Just in case it was not clear already, Stormy Daniels is not good people. Okay? Why do we all care what a stripper has to say? A porn star has to say about the president?
Excuse me, sir, but it sounds like that you're objectifying the young lady.
No. She objectified herself by going on the big screen or the little screen, depending on how you look at it, and filming as an adult actress. By the way, can we stop calling this acting? It's not acting. It's just pure, unbridled lust on film. I swear, our society is completely upside down. The people that we should look up to, we don't look up to. And the people we shouldn't look up to, we totally look up to. Like, oh yeah, he's got a good point. I mean, he was in 4 action flicks. I just don't care what Alec Baldwin thinks about the border crisis. I just don't. He's a pompous, elderly actor whose Donald Trump impersonation is absolute crap on a stick. And we're supposed to be taking our advice from these people? Are you serious? I know we've reduced ourselves to taking our advice and our political, what we should think from a porn star. Come on, America. Next thing that's going to happen is we're going to turn on the TV and wonder what friggin' Mickey Mouse has to say about things. Hey, I wonder what the imaginary animated rodent has to say about healthcare. Who gives a crap? Our intelligence is going out the window. It really is. We need help. All right, well, I guess I'll wrap this up with this little tidbit. Because I've run into this multiple times. Makes me angry. Makes my blood boil. And really shows that the compassion of the human spirit only goes as far as paperwork will let them. I've run into this on multiple occasions. Food pantries that deal with people that are just on the border of their county slash town and reject them because on paper it says they have to be rejected. Now, a lot of these food pantries are run by people that are claiming to be Christian. They can neither deny nor affirm this fact, or confirm, I should say. But I'll say this. I get it if somebody's coming down from like 6 counties away to do the food pantry hopping. I get it. People that abuse the system so they never have to spend a dime on groceries. Yeah, you want to kind of weed those people out. But when somebody's literally on a county line border and you're sending them away because that's what it says you have to do on paper very rigidly, is it really compassion anymore? I mean, it's a free service. I get it. But if you're walking away from that with the answer, well, it's a free service. Let them go somewhere else. Kind of the wrong attitude. You know, maybe that person is between the borders of multiple counties and nobody will serve them. There are so many different aspects to that particular paradigm that you really need to look at it on a
individual basis. Each person that comes in, well, where are you? Well, I'm between County A and County B. Uh-huh. We're County B. That's who we service. But is anybody really servicing County A? If the answer is not really, then you have a problem that you alone can solve. Reaching out to your fellow man should not require a mountain of paperwork that has to be rigidly followed. It just shouldn't. If somebody's hungry, feed them. I'm pretty sure Jesus never said, but do it on a county-by-county basis. I think he just said to feed the hungry, along with visit the sick in the hospital, the people in prison, and so forth. No limitations. There were no limitations on this particular instruction. So why are we doing this? Why is it whenever man gets involved with something that has a spiritual construct, we always have to run the red tape around it? Good grief. Because part of us has no compassion. And if we're not getting up every morning and fighting that part of us that doesn't want to give anybody any compassion, then we're failing.
Hey, what's up, everybody? I'm Adam Richman. You are listening to The Vince Wild Show, which means you have excellent taste.